The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We are high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And wow, do I have an incredible person, an incredible guest here. The mayor of Yorba Linda, Jean Hernandez. Welcome to the show, Jean.
Well, thank you, Deacon Steve. I'm honored to be here.
This man is on fire for the Lord. And I can say that because we just attended a retreat together. And his comments and his zeal for the Lord is pretty amazing. Tell us your story about how that happened. Were you like born and all of a sudden on fire, or did it take some time?
Yes, I was born.
You were born. You were born in a log cabin, I heard.
Actually, close to that. That's an interesting story because my mom was pregnant at the time and due to the liver, and she decided to go shopping down to the Burbank Golden Mall, as it was called, and she felt the labor pains, and she jumped into a taxi and said, "Hey, unless you want this baby in your cab, you better, you know, get me." She said, "Home," and sure enough, he took her home. So she went inside the bedroom, and as I like to say, it was just me, her, and God. And I was born there. In fact, I still have a little scar in the back of my head where she kind of pulled me out because she got anxious. So that was my auspicious beginning.
Wow. You were special from the beginning.
Well, I was something anyway. A survivor, I'd like to say.
You were a survivor. That's incredible. And so you grew up where?
I grew up in Burbank. My mom and dad had moved there from East L.A. My mom's kind of saw the writing on the wall and thought that I want to raise my children in a little more safer area than they were living at Ramona Gardens at the time, and moved to Burbank. And my dad was a long haul truck driver, ultimately ended up working for the city of Burbank in the warehouse department. And so I went to school locally there. In fact, I started my education right across the street at a school called Benjamin Franklin, which is no longer there. It's now a fire station.
And so what high school did you go to?
I started out, stepping back, I went to St. Finbar Elementary, where I got my immersion into my Catholicism. I'm a cradle Catholic. And then from there, I went to Paternoster High School in Eagle Rock for a year. This was an all-boys high school taught by the Brothers of St. Patrick, which were, I'm convinced, all ex-Irish boxers. And it was pretty brisk, and it was a ways to get there. I had to take a bus. So I kind of yammered to my mom if I could go to Burbank High, which was where all my neighbor friends were going, and not too far. And she acquiesced, and I ended up going to Burbank High School, and that's where I graduated.
Now, was that part of the Foothill League?
It was part of the Foothill League. I'm impressed.
Well, you should
be. The original Foothill League.
The original Foothill League, because I am a dynamiter.
Glendale. Okay. Yeah, we played against them. I played football and track, and we took on the Dynamiters many times.
Yeah. Yes. My guess is you probably won, too.
We did. At least that's how I recall it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's when I played games with my family, it was like, I think I won the last, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So So you went from there, and ultimately you served in law enforcement for 34 years, and you were chief of police for the city of Chino. Thank you for your service in law enforcement, and God bless you for doing that. Tell us about why you did that.
Well, thank you. Well, I'll tell you, I went to a career day at Burbank High when I was a sophomore, and I chose to listen to a police officer from LAPD. I, by this time, had been a fanatic for Dragnet. You know, I really liked watching that show. And I heard him speak, and I thought, wow, that's what I want to do, kind of be your own boss. Your office is your police unit, and you're out in the street. And so I kind of geared my whole academic career for that, because that then launched me to go to, I wanted a college degree, so I went to San Jose State, and they had the number one law enforcement program at the time in the country. So that's where I chose to go. And then once I graduated, my wife's sister was dating a city planner in Fullerton. So he heard that I was just graduating and said, why don't you try Fullerton PD? And so I came down to Orange County, and that's the first I really knew of Orange County, and I went to work at Fullerton PD.
Wow. You've done so many amazing things in law enforcement, but where did Jesus fit in? When, in terms of your faith life, at what point did Jesus become really critical as it is now for you?
Well, first let me say that was a rocky road, because I was a cradle Catholic. My mom had me baptized, and they went to church, well, I wouldn't say regularly, kind of a little spotty, but my mom wanted to make sure that we got a Catholic education. So from my first kindergarten, first grade, I went to public school, I transferred to Catholic school, to St. Finbar, south side of the city in Burbank. And all I knew of Catholicism were these really hard-looking folks in black with white habits that didn't smile a lot. And when you asked a question, why, they said, because. So my indoctrination to Catholicism was rote memory. Didn't really understand it, but I went along with the program to avoid corporal punishment. And same thing when I started high school to Paternoster, a Catholic high school, all-boys school. Went there because all my friends were going there. So it really wasn't, it didn't catch fire until, now my wife is also Catholic, good Irish Catholic. She was one of nine children, and she went to St. Patrick's in North Hollywood. So we got married in the church, and our children were all baptized, but I immediately went off to school up in San Jose, and life was real hard. We had to work real tough. Not a lot of time for the church or my religion. When I caught fire, and I like to say fire because that truly is what it was, when we moved to Yorba Linda and we started our parish life there at St. Martin de Porres, it wasn't until a couple of years, because I was still in police work, a couple of years later that I joined the Knights of Columbus. And I think that's when I truly put my ports of life in balance, when I realized, wow, now I'm starting to understand my religion. We have a very active group of knights, and we really got into it. But it wasn't really until I became a sponsor for RCIA, when I was there as the Catholic training new prospective Catholics, that I learned a ton about my religion. They were learning a lot, but so was I. And I thought, oh, that's why we did that. Oh, now I understand.
And it's such a powerful thing to be able to sponsor people, to go through that process. And you know, a shout out to the Knights of Columbus, too, because it's an incredibly important Knights men's organization. And do you have a Form 100 with you by any chance? We have a couple people right here in the studio that need to sign up.
If you're not a knight, you are missing out a lot in your life, your religious life, truly.
You're missing out a lot. I want to reinforce that. So, no, absolutely. Are you a fourth degree, by the way?
I am fourth degree,
you
yes.
See, that's awesome. So I've got to become fourth degree.
I'm also part of the color corps, so I get to wear that. Well, I used to get to wear that cool cape and sword. I think we've now changed uniforms, but in that chapeau with the big feather on top.
You got to look awesome, man.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. This whole talk here, the show, is faith in action through government. And you are actively involved in government, actively involved in working for people through the police department and other things that you did. How did you bring Jesus into it?
Well, that's interesting, because you hear a lot of separation of church and state. And I think people take that to the opposite end of separation. It's freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And I think people need to understand that. And so you still can be a man of faith, in my case, and still make very sound core decisions based on your value system, which in my case is a Catholic value system. So my decisions are very morally based and will support my faith. I will not make a decision that goes against that. And it's not tough to do. You really can work that out. I think the first thing that an elected official has to recognize is that you're elected by everyone in your community, and a lot of those are religious people, and some aren't. So, but you have to represent them all. So you have to keep things balanced. But you can live by example, and I do that.
Yeah, and which is so important. Can you give us some examples of living by example?
Well, I get a lot of requests from the interfaith council groups, churches to come and speak to their group, and I love to take advantage of that, because now that puts you in an element where you're a public official, but you're speaking to a group of faithful believers. And so it's, I don't preach, because that's not my calling, but I can show how you can blend the two. You can take your religion and you can bring it out in the decisions you make and how you treat people. Of all people. In fact, I enjoy dealing with people that aren't religious. I love it when someone says, well, I don't believe in God. I say, well, that's okay. He believes in you. And let me tell you, you do believe in God. No, I don't. Yes, you do. You just believe you're your God.
Yeah, exactly.
And that you make it all happen, and your life all depends on the things you do. And by the way, how's that working for you?
Exactly. And my brothers and sisters, how is that working for you? As we're here early in 2019 on this show, how have you made a decision for Christ and putting Christ at the center of what you did and everything that you do at work and everything that you do as it relates to your thought process? And in doing that, your whole life changes.
It absolutely changes. It puts things into perspective. You get an inner peace. You get a sense of contentment and joy. You know, at my age now, I go to a lot of funerals of friends. And what's so uplifting is to recognize, and I tell people that, hey, they just finished phase one. They're on to phase two. They're permanent home. This is the real joy. They are looking down at us, waiting for us to get there with them. Keep in mind, folks, when we pass, there's no trailer attached to us. You're not taking your goodies with you. It's just you, your naked soul, and you better make the most of it while we're here.
And Jesus is very clear on this. He said, what would you rather do, work for treasure in heaven that is eternal, or treasure here that is so fleeting, it's incredible, right? I mean, it's the parable, the guy with the barns, the two big barns, fills it up with grain and says, hey, now everything I've got wired. And Jesus says, what a fool, because tomorrow you die. It's so important that we focus on what the most important thing is.
Life is a two-edged sword. Jesus gave us free choice. We have free choice. We can pick what we want to do. And unfortunately, our nature is we're basically lazy. We have to work beyond that. You know, unfortunately, success comes after, is on the other side of our comfort zone. So we have to really move to get there, and it takes work. But the reality is, with that work comes tremendous satisfaction, tremendous relief. And so you all of a sudden start realizing it's not about putting all the goodies in a basket. It's about what can I give back, because I'm going to go to my permanent home, and I want to be proud of what I did here. And that automatically makes you want to help out others. And by the way, if you believe in heaven, you have to believe in the devil. And then if you believe in the devil, you're constantly being challenged, and you're constantly being tested. And boy, I'll tell you, I try to tell folks that, oh, I don't believe in that fairy tale. I go, fairy tale? Really? Look at all the bad things that have happened. Yeah, why does God allow that? Well, God doesn't. God is good. The devil does those things, and we are in a battle, and you better have your armor on, as you once told us in our men's retreat. And it's a daily battle, every day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are on fire. Fuego. And you are an evangelist. We're going to be right back with the mayor of Yorba Linda, Gene Hernandez. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads that young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and sex without the kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco here, high atop the Tower of Hope at Christ Cathedral with a truly on fire man of the Lord, Mayor Gene Hernandez of Yorba Linda, who is just devoted his life to public service, doing so many wonderful things as former chief of police for the city of Chino, doing incredible things, and obviously being a mayor of Yorba Linda and on the city council, correct?
Correct.
And so very, very important. Now, we've gone through, you know, we just had these midterms, and I don't want to get political at all, but there is this tension in the country, maybe worse than I've ever seen, of which a lot of people are saying, you know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I'm a Catholic. I'm on fire with the Lord. But public service, as it relates to being elected official, doesn't feel like that's a good place to be. But really the exact opposite is probably true, is that we need people who really have faith. But how is it, what would you say to those people who might be considering running for public office or elected official? How would you encourage them?
I would say be the change you want to see. Absolutely. You can sit on your couch and scream at the TV that you're so frustrated and upset, or you can stand up and get involved. You know, it's like our religion, Catholicism. That's not a spectator sport. You've got to get engaged and get involved. Same thing in your community. If you don't like what you see, you need to get involved, get engaged, get yourself on council. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's so rewarding. Unfortunately, we deal with a media that is very biased. I won't say which way. I'm just saying it's biased.
Right.
And it tends to paint a picture for people who don't really take the time to get out, engaged, and do their own homework, vet the issues. They just go by what somebody else tells them, particularly if that somebody happens to be an entertainer. They'll go, oh, well, if they say it, it must be. You've got to do your homework. And I will tell you, though, really, Deacon Steve, that a lot of the time in a community, we don't see that angst that you see on TV because people just want to make sure that, hey, is the city keeping my streets clean? Is traffic flowing? Is the grass green? Do I have clean water? They want to take care of their daily lives, their children going to school. They want to be happy. They want to be safe. That's really what occupies most people's time. It's not the daily gnashing of teeth. That's my environment. But my environment allows me to put a positiveness into that, too. I can work with anyone. I don't care what your political party is. I care about what's in your heart. Do you have core values and do you stick to those values? Now, if you don't have core values, like some people don't, yeah, well, we'll deal with that. But I'm not going to be a wilting violet and sit back. I'm going to be an active force in my community for good. I got elected because people believe in my experience, my heart. They trust me. And I'm not going to betray that trust. I am their spokesperson. And I believe I know the path that God wants me to travel. I don't do any of this, by the way, without God's choice.
And Jesus told us in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Living out abundant life means to use the gifts that God has given us. And it's not sitting on the sidelines. It's saying, okay, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to get involved. And there's so many things that are needed, but how do you live out your faith as a public official?
You live it out by example, by your tolerance, by your patience, by your openness to all people. I hear a lot of people that politically and even personally, we are diametrically opposed, but they have earned and I have the responsibility to listen to them and I will hear them out. And then I try to patiently walk through my thinking. And many times when someone takes a position that I'm categorically opposed to, I'll just say, you know, I don't see it that way. So help me understand what I'm missing. Let me hear what you're saying that I'm not seeing. And then you listen to my position and let's see where it shakes out.
That's such an important tool of communication. Help me understand.
Oh, massive.
Help me understand. You know, could you elaborate a little bit more on why you believe what you believe and what you're thinking? You know, rather than say, oh, you're wrong and I'm right, you know, rather than create divisions, my brothers and sisters, we as Catholics, we as Christians need to build bridges. You know, and you look at you look at Acts of the Apostles, rather, in the famous story of Paul talking to the Athenians where they had this tomb to the unknown God. And Paul says to them, you don't realize it, but you're worshiping Jesus without knowing it, because Jesus is that unknown God that you're talking about. You see, the bottom line is that you look for areas of bridges, areas that you can build on together, you know, as it relates to whether it be a public official, but just in conversations with people, because that I'm so concerned about that right now, is that we've lost the tools of how to communicate with people that have different opinions.
You know, Deacon Steve, anyone who's ever led people, and I've had to lead officers in very difficult situations, or just everyday routine patrol, you learn quickly what is effective with your people and what's not. And people want to be heard. They want to be respected. They want to be thanked for the job they did. It's those same tools that I took into public policy making. Yeah, there was a lot of people that just the mere fact I wore this uniform disliked me, hated me. They didn't even know me, but they hated me. And so I took it as my responsibility to, A, get them to know me. It's very difficult to hate someone once you know them. And let them see what I'm all about, and I want to hear what they're all about. People love to talk about themselves if you give them the opportunity. And I just say, you know, what's your background? Fill me in. Tell me about it. And all of a sudden, you start hitting these common bonds, and people go, oh, okay, well, you're not as bad as I thought. And that's my goal. And on council, it's the same thing. People come up to the dais to talk about something they're bothered with. Whether I agree or not is not the issue. They're bothered. And it's my job to listen to that. Tell me about it. And the more you flush those things out, and the more they hear what the law says we can do, what kind of decisions we can do within that parameter, at least they understand why I made the decision I made. It may be against what they want, but at least they felt that they've had their day in court. I heard them. I just didn't happen to agree with them, and I explained why.
And it's so important to understand, my brothers and sisters, what Catholic social teaching is all about. And a big part of what it's all about is focusing on the dignity of people, is hearing them, is really embracing them, encouraging them. You know, and people that care enough to come to city council meetings, maybe in areas that we don't necessarily agree with, or maybe we do agree with it, but you have to respect the fact that at least they want to try to make a difference.
Absolutely. In fact, before every council meeting, I always say a prayer that the Holy Spirit fill me with guidance and peace, and that I make the right decisions, and that I do it for the good of all people. That to me is real important. That's how I inject my personal belief before I even get on the dais. And then we always start our meetings, our council meetings off with an invocation. And we have a rotating list of pastors that we use. And I'm always proud when one of my priests comes up from my church and says the invocation. That's what Yorba Linda is all about. Yorba Linda is a city of faith, and I'm very proud to say that. We have proudly behind the dais big letters, "In God We Trust."
Amen, amen, amen. And it's a great place to live, too.
Oh, it's an awesome place to live. Land of gracious living.
It is amazing. What's the population?
It's just right around 70,000.
Wow. That's amazing. And it's such a beautiful area. We're so blessed, right?
To be here. Every day. Every day I thank God for where I live, the state I live in, the country I live in.
Now, we're called to live out our faith. In fact, as you take a look at Hebrews 11:6, it says it's impossible to please God without faith, and he rewards those who believe in him, believe he exists. How do you express faith in city council meetings?
You can express faith, you roundaboutly go, you don't say, wow, you know, let's all pray on this. But I always fall back to, you know what, this is a difficult decision. I'm going to have to meditate on this. I'm going to step back and ask respectful questions. I'm gonna treat people with dignity and respect. And that's, people will see that. I had a good pastor friend who used to say that I may be the only Bible some people ever read. So in other words, how I act, how I present myself, how I conduct myself, I have a great sense of humor that I picked up from my dad. My dad was, he walked into a party and he was the party. And sometimes I got to be careful with that, because combining that with police work, where police can be brutal on each other if you know police officers. But you develop a quick sense of humor. You develop a sense of, and the humor I'm talking about is not at the expense of other people. I always believe that the best humor is when I make fun of myself and people see that I can do that. That's huge.
You know, we live out our faith by our kindness, our generosity, how well we listen. We live out our faith by who we are, because that's what people look at. You know, they don't want to be preached at necessarily. They want people to love them. They want people to listen to them. They want people to affirm them and not imply that they're crazy.
Now, there's the true art, the ability to preach without preaching.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Who was it? Was it St. Francis Assisi, who said, our job is to go out and preach among people and sometimes use words? You know, that's exactly what I feel is so successful. If you just live by example, if you treat people decently, they're going to go, oh, what a good guy. Sooner or later, they're going to know what your faith is. See, that'll come up in a conversation, and it always does, particularly when I get a chance to go out to groups. Remember, my time on council is not just up there on the dais at a council meeting every other Tuesday. It's when I get to go to all the community meetings, all the meet and greets, all the ribbon cuttings. Those are all opportunities to have dialogue with people and share that faith. I don't think there's not one person in town that doesn't know I'm a Catholic and go to St. Martin's. I'd be shocked if that were the case.
My brothers and sisters, we are called to make a difference. We are called to live out our purpose. And you can't do that isolated. Now, there's obviously people that live in monasteries and whatever. God bless them. They're praying for us and so forth. But for most of us, we're called to be in the world, to make a difference in the world, and to meet people and meet them right where they're at. And certainly, as an elected official, you can do that. And we need to encourage more people to get involved in city government, to get involved as elected officials who are Catholic. And this is to make a difference, because the bottom line is this. If we're on the sidelines and we let everyone else become our elected officials, you know, it might be a challenge.
You know, there's a term that, again, my pastor friend used to use. He said, you can't walk with God on Sunday and run with the devil on Monday. And what he was saying is that you really have to get out there every day. And that is possible. I'm also a Rotarian, and I've had an opportunity to travel the world on humanitarian projects. And I've seen firsthand people who have a lack of hope and people who have nothing and are happy, happier than we are. So don't go to a third world country and just think, oh, gosh, they don't have the latest iPad. They don't have the latest TV. They have a contentment because they have their faith and they have their family and they have a warm sun. And let me tell you, I come back and I get renewed by their spirit. And I see that with our people. You know, it's often said, you know, we have first world problems. Oh, I don't have the latest iPad. I don't have the latest car. That's not a third world problem, where I don't have food and I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. That's a third world problem. And we should take the time to count our blessings, and not only count our blessings, you know, the old adage that to whom much is given, much is expected.
You're quoting scripture.
That should be our time to go out and give back. I know what I've been given, and I'm thankful to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I try to give back. If you believe that, you can't even sleep. You're going 24 hours. You want to keep moving. I go to bed exhausted, and I wake up ready to start the day, and I go back to bed exhausted. But that's what I choose to do. And remember, Steve, this is all choices that we make. You can choose to get involved.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, as you begin this new year, 2019, may you focus on what is it that God is calling me to do? God is calling you to make a difference. Make a difference with people, whether it be at work or volunteering, whatever it is. And people volunteering, that's a very important thing. I'm sure there's a ton of volunteer efforts that you're part of.
Oh, I could spend all day on volunteerism. I've been to Africa doing water wells, India doing polio inoculations, China, you name it. That's my passion, what I call volunteerism, where you actually go to, in fact, I used to tell my wife, I will only travel where you can't drink the water. That's where I love to go and see people who really need help. And the experience, the things that you see make you so rich. If I were king for a day, I'd require every graduating senior to spend a year in a third world country and then come back and to appreciate what we have and what we're willing to give. You know, they say if the world was a book and you've never traveled, you've only read one page.
Amen, amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about faith in action through government and through making a difference. We'll be right back to talk more about how you can make a difference by living out your faith.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back here on Powered by the Spirit with Gene Hernandez, mayor of Yorba Linda, a gentleman who is on fire with the Lord, who has lived a life of service as former chief of police for the city of Chino and various other jobs he's had serving the people of Southern California and people everywhere, certainly. The bottom line is this. We are called to live out our faith and called to make a difference. Your faith life has enhanced over the years by a variety of different things that have happened to you. But one of them is this incredible retreat that you've been part of through St. Martin de Porres in the city of Yorba Linda. And this retreat that you go down to the retreat center, Prince of Peace Abbey, that is so amazing. Tell us about this men's retreat that you've been part of for so long.
Well, thank you, Deacon Steve. It is amazing. And this was my fifth year going down there, and they've done it much longer than that. But it's something incredibly powerful about a group of Catholic men getting together, and I mean men that I respect. These are all very successful individuals, and some not so successful, but all are living their faith. And what I've learned, we have a very powerful portion that we call the Stations of the Cross, where we go outside and we walk, literally, the Stations of the Cross, and at each station, we're assigned, each one of us is assigned a particular station, and two or three of us will, at that point, get up and tell a story about ourselves that relates to that particular station, when we denied God, or when we, you know, we weren't as, when we stumbled and we needed to get back up. The reality is that I've known this, that everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. It's our job to find out what that story is and how we can help out. And that's what this retreat does. It is so spiritually fulfilling for me. I make it a priority. I had a conflicting event this year, training through Rotary that I go every year. And they normally have it on a different week. They changed it. And I said, no, I'm going to this retreat because I need to recharge my batteries. And that's what this does. And as you know, Deacon Steve, you were one of our leaders this year. And I learned some valuable lessons from you. And I want to thank you for that. Particularly when it came to reconciliation, I learned two powerful areas. One was pride and apathy. Those, you could put all my sins into those two categories, and it made me want to improve daily on that. And I do now. Every time I think, could I be doing more to enhance my faith with first my family, my extended family, then my community, my neighbors? Yes, I can. And I learned how to get meaningful prayer. Just a side note, I used to think, well, gosh, I hear all these people talk about they pray and Jesus talks to them. I've never heard God talk to me, at least in that form. And then I realized that it's not a conversation. The mere fact that I meditate and I think, that's communicating with our Lord. And the reality is he does talk to us, what I call God winks. When things are coming along, we pray and something happens in a positive vein, God just talked to us. We got to be tuned to it. We're like a fine-tuned machine that if we're listening to our tuner, we'll know when God is talking to us.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus wants all of us, and he wants us to fulfill the gifts, the graces that he's given us. But we need tools in order to do that. A retreat, a men's retreat, a women's retreat, whatever it might be, is so important as it relates to giving us fuel. And you were fortunate to have two incredible deacons, and one was sick at the time. Give a shout out to your deacons.
Oh, Deacon Nick was sick. He wasn't able to make it. But Deacon Dennis and Deacon Mark, these guys are fabulous. They live their faith. They're my role models. They're my mentors.
Mark Murphy and Dennis Zahn, you know, a shout out to you guys. You are holy men. But everyone there was so involved in wanting this pursuit of holiness, as I call it, you know, this pursuit of wanting to get closer to God. I have never, and I've been involved in men's activities and different retreats for many, many years. I've never experienced anything quite like this. And certainly I also want to give a shout out to Jody Martin, because Jody, his organization, his love of putting this together and love of Jesus is absolutely amazing. But you talked about this Stations of the Cross. It is so unique, and our producer, Michael Amola, was also blessed to be part of this weekend retreat. I've never experienced anything like it, because most men really struggle with the honesty, I guess is the word, or really revealing themselves and revealing
pride.
Their brokenness. Yeah, the pride, exactly. That was the word, pride. You know, we're all broken, and it's okay. Because we need Jesus as our Savior to put us back together in His love. And it's so important for men listening, and certainly women too, but the men that are holding on, and you ask a man, as I like to say, how are things going? Fantastic. How many men say it's not going well? Well, maybe a few, but not many. Oh, wife has never been better. You know, my life, my wife, my children, my job, everything's great, and they're miserable inside. But they don't want to share it because they don't want to feel like, oh, well, people are going to look down at me, that I don't have my act together.
You know, that's the beauty of this group. To me, a real man does share that. And the love that we give those individuals, all of us, the love you feel is overwhelming. And I'm amazed when I hear some of these stories. I think to myself, and again, we don't reveal the stories, what's says on the mountain, stays on the mountain. But I will tell you that there are stories that I hope God never challenges me that way, because I'm not sure I'd have the strength to go on like these individuals do. I am so unbelievably impressed by men that, despite all these barriers, these hurdles, they get up, dust themselves off, and they keep moving down their faith path. And many of them, to my shame, are fairly new Catholics. You know, they're on fire with their religion.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus is embracing you. He has his arms open and he's saying, come to me. Come to me as little children. The greatest gift that we can ever give to Jesus is our openness, is our honesty, and yes, give him our sins. Give him our shortfallings. Give him our weakness. Because Jesus told us in our weakness, he is strong within us. He will supply our needs according to his riches and glory, as it says in Philippians 4:19. He will give us the strength that we need to overcome whatever we need. But we have to make that one step forward, and Jesus comes to us with 100 steps towards us. We make that inch forward, and Jesus gives us all that we need.
Absolutely. And the one requirement, I think, Jesus says, though, is ask for it. You know, many times you just have to ask for it, and we don't. And I don't mean just always asking for what we want. In fact, most of my prayer deals with, Jesus, your will be done. What do you want me to do? You give me some insight. Where should I go? And unfortunately for me, unfortunately for Jesus, he always tells me, Gene, just say yes. Well, do you know what it's like when you keep saying yes? You get involved in a lot of things.
Amen.
But you know what? They've been so rewarding. And I see that ripple through my family. My daughter now is very involved in the community, and my grandkids. That's the role model I want them to see. I've been very fortunate, Deacon Steve, in my life that I have a life partner that feels the same way. And we've been married now. In fact, next year, July 5th, will be 50 years that we've been married.
No way.
Yeah, way.
How is that possible?
Yeah,
you're only 55.
I look at the mirror, I go, who's that old man? What happened to the young guy? But she's an amazing woman, and we've had a wonderful faith journey now. We've both been through Curcio. She's in Wings. I'm in Knights. I mean, just when it blends like that, you're hitting all cylinders.
You know, it talks about in congratulations. That is so fantastic.
Very proud of that.
In Romans 10, it talks about some very important points. And that is, how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they're sent? As it written, how beautiful the feet of those who bring the good news. Thus, faith comes from what is heard. What is heard comes from the word of Christ. So it's important to preach the word of God, but it's important through our actions, as we said earlier, so that our activities really are thunderingly loud. And you give an example to your children, your grandchildren, to all those around you by putting your faith into action. And that's exactly what Christ has called us to do.
You know what I've learned, Deacon Steve, is that I was not one to read the Bible. I didn't know it well. And after our many retreats, and especially this last one, I've made a point to read a passage every week and then try to work that out throughout my day to be able to say that concept with somebody I'm dealing with. And that has been so rewarding to actually connect. What you learn with Catholicism, hey, it's not an easy religion. You got to work at it. And there's only one way to do that. Well, there's many ways, but particularly you need to read up on it. You need to be aware of what's in the Bible. You need to understand. You need to talk to other people. I have this group that we meet with every Friday. And these are the things we talk about. You know, what message or lesson did we get today? Or help us out. I don't understand this. Why do we do this? And that is the more educated I become, the easier for me is to talk to people when they challenge me. Why do you believe in God? You know, something real basic. And you can't just say because. You know, you've got to come up with, well, here's why. Because I really believe that he came down and died for our sins. Well, actually, he didn't die for our sins. He died for those people that asked to be forgiven and want salvation. And I'm one of them.
Amen, amen, amen. And I'm so impressed with how well you know Scripture. In fact, when I say Matthew 7:7 and Luke 11:9, I know you know exactly what it is because you will answer it appropriately. Ask and you will
receive.
Seek and you will
find.
Knock and the door will be
opened.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, ask and you'll receive, you know, and seek and you'll find. I mean, that concept is so important, my brothers and sisters, is basically to say, as we begin this new year, is to say, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to serve you. I want to love more passionately, love you more passionately, love your people in a way that I can make a difference. It really starts there. You know, it starts with the desire, the burning desire to say, I want to make a difference.
Yeah, you're so spot on. The reality is, why are we here? We're here to become saints to get to heaven. And I don't want to get there alone. I want my family to be there. I want them all to be there. I want them to work as hard as I am. And that's where it starts. Don't worry about conquering your community or the state or the country. Start with your family. The rest will fall in line. And that's how I take my position on council, that, you know what, if I live that example, if I show people that, hey, this is good, and you'll feel good about yourself. It's kind of like working out. Nobody wants to work out. They want to feel good, but they don't want to work out. Well, you know what? Again, like I said, the other side of success lies on the other side of your comfort zone. You got to get up at 5:30 in the morning like I do and work out because I want to be around for my kids and my grandkids.
Yeah, it makes such a big difference is to say, how can I make a difference by the way I live my life? Like you say, being healthy, eating healthy, working out, but also spiritually exercising ourselves. And that whole concept of taking one scripture, and then applying it, we often say, use it 7 times during the course of a week. And just, you know, when you use it, then all of a sudden becomes alive for you. And you find a way of using it in conversation. And make that scripture into something that is building up someone.
You know, I'm not sure other parishes do it. I know a number of them do, but I know ours does. We have 24/7 adoration. And here is an opportunity once a week that you can go and read those verses and just meditate and communicate. And it is such a spiritual feeling of well-being. My wife does this every time she was the president of the Yorba Linda Women's Club. Every night before a meeting, she'd go to the chapel and she would just sit there and pray on it. And she said, man, what a sense of feeling I had when I got to my meeting. I was calm. I was clear. I knew what I wanted to say. And I found that same thing to be true. So don't just downplay, folks out there, adoration, a powerful tool.
adoration is one of the most important things that we can do. Being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, praying our rosary, reading scripture, just listening to God is so, so important. And, you know, this is something, if you're in the Orange County area, 24-hour adoration at St. Martin de Porres.
It's right in the corner. I don't know the address off the top of my head, but it's right at Fairmont and Yorba Linda Boulevard in the northeast corner. Can't miss it. And it's a great place to worship. If you want to get involved, friendly people that want to help you get to your life mission, this is the place to be.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about your faith in action.
Hi, this is Father Quan Tran, parochial vicar for Christ Cathedral Parish, and today we continue with holiness. St. John tells us that God is love, and so Jesus himself has revealed this love to us by his passion and death, and he commands us, love one another as I have loved you. So he gives us an image, a model for what love looks like. So to love is to sacrifice oneself for the good of the other, and so if we are to truly love like Jesus, we are to sacrifice ourselves for the glory of God and the salvation of others. And so Mother Teresa tells us we don't have to do great things, do big things, just do little things with great love. And we do it with joy. We love our neighbor because out of our love for God. And God loves a cheerful giver. So we do everything with joy for the glory of God and the salvation of others.
And empowered by the Spirit with an incredible man of faith, an incredible man who loves Jesus, Gene Hernandez, the mayor of Yorba Linda, who has been an active public service in as police, chief of police, as doing many, many things for the Lord. He has quote unquote retired, but he's working 7 days a week for the Lord in such a powerful way. He's been married nearly 50 years, and a shout out to his wife, Louise. 3 children and 5 grandchildren.
Yes.
God bless them all. Amazing. Now, your faith life, and again, I've just gotten to know you over the last couple months here, but your faith life is just constantly enhancing by adoration, by prayer, by now reading scripture, applying that to your daily life. But there is a roadblock that we all face because you brought it up earlier, and that roadblock is that the enemy wants to defeat us by discouraging us, by doing things that whispering in our ears, things that bring us away from God. And probably one of the number one things that brings us away from God is this whole concept of, well, I am not being treated like I need to be treated, to play victim. And because of that, you know, I'm going to hold this grudge. I'm not going to forgive people who have said things, who have hurt me. I can only imagine in public life that there are people who go out of their way, obviously, to get their way and maybe do things that are not, you know, maybe not the way we would do it. Let's put it that way. But in life in general, in corporate America that I was in, there are people who, you know, you just say, why are you doing that? Why are you saying this about me? Or why'd you do this in a meeting? In our families, you know, people will say things or do things that are cutting and hurtful. And if we let that get to the core of our being, if we don't show forgiveness, then our ministry, our walk with the Lord is severely hampered.
Well, Deacon Steve, you're hitting a topic that's probably one of my hardest areas, and I pray on constantly to deal with, is forgiveness. Keep in mind, I had a career in police work where there was a basic philosophy that I lived by, that bad people should be punished. And That's what we did. Every day I went out to see if somebody was violating the law. I treated them with respect. I was never one of those type that took out abuse on people, but I had a strong sense of justice. If you violate something, you need to be held accountable for it. Same thing in politics, I'm finding out. Of course, there was politics in police work also, but also in when you become a professional politician. I deal with people that I'm thinking, where in the world are they coming from? Why would they say that? I have a very tough time with people who want to talk about pro-choice or pro-life. And I'm thinking, and I'm talking about Catholic people. And I say, how in the world can you assume that that all Catholics think alike? Because we don't. And it's very hard for me to say, you're condoning murder. Well, no, it hasn't come out yet. The child isn't out yet. So it's like if you kill the seed, the growing seed, that's not a problem. And I've had to work hard, hard to pray for people, to forgive them. And that is very liberating. If you can do that, it's very liberating. There's a whole lot of folks that politically, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum, and I mean violently on the opposite end. And it takes time to think, step back, Gene, pray for that person. Oh, no, I don't want to pray for that person. Gene, pray for that person. And I know that's the Holy Spirit talking to me, and I do, and I work at it. Not always successful, but I work at it, and I think it's important.
My brothers and sisters, lack of forgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking it's harming someone else. Mm-hmm. The only one it harms is you.
Amen.
And as you begin this new year in 2019, there's no doubt in my mind the Holy Spirit is allowing you to listen right this second as you're hearing this. That person that you haven't forgiven, it could have been a father, a mother who's passed away. You need to forgive them. Write them a letter. You can burn it, whatever. Put out your feelings as it relates to the hurts, but forgive them in that letter. It may be your best friend who has abandoned you. It may be a son or daughter that you're estranged with, or a brother, a sister. It may be an ex-boss. It may be an ex-friend. Find a way of forgiving them. It doesn't mean that you have to be best friends. It doesn't mean you have to forget maybe some hurt that happened, but put it to the Lord Jesus and forgive them with all of your heart.
You know, Deacon Steve, I saw firsthand family members that could forgive the murderer of one of their family members. They forgave them. And I'm thinking to myself, you're nuts. How in the world can you do that? I now realize they relieve themselves of that burden. And the other caveat I'd add is do this before it's too late. Do it while they're still here. Don't wait and punish yourself forever. That why didn't I go to that person and tell them I forgive them? And just as you said, it's not a matter of forgetting. You forgive them, though. Don't carry that weight around. You don't have to. It's liberating when you do that.
My brothers and sisters, this is a great opportunity for freedom, to live an abundant life, as it says again in John 10:10. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. When you have lack of forgiveness, you're living in bondage. Bondage to the enemy, which prevents you from receiving the graces that God has in store for you. Not that God doesn't want to give them to you. Not that God isn't showering you with graces, but you're blocking it with this poison of lack of forgiveness. So how do you do it? You can say, I don't have the strength to forgive. That's okay. That's a start. You ask the Lord and say, Lord, help me to forgive.
You know what really helped me on that, Deacon Steve? Who am I to say I can't forgive someone when Jesus came down to earth and died for my sins? I'm sure Jesus forgave Judas. So am I better than Jesus that I can't forgive somebody? Who am I? Come on, if he can forgive and pay for that, I certainly can. In fact, one little caveat, I love when people say, well, I don't believe in the evil one. Well, let me tell you, every time, and he's there, and he's always gnawing at us, especially when I go to church, all of a sudden, you know, I may see a nice young lady walk by. I go, wow, she's cute. And I think, boy, there's the devil. And the first thing I do is I look up the crucifix, and I thank Jesus for telling me, thank you for reminding me that the evil one's still with me. I appreciate that. And boom, he's gone.
Amen.
Goes.
And praising God, too. Praising God, I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Getting your mind on Jesus, the devil's tactics will just melt away. Praying the rosary, asking the Blessed Mother to intercede, all those things are important. But as you begin this new year, early in this new year, as you listen to this radio broadcast, just know that God is calling you to forgive and to forgive yourself. You know, one of the other things besides forgiving other people is people carry these burdens.
Amen.
I can never forgive myself for what I did. And yet, Jesus died on the cross and rose again to forgive us. So, believe it or not, Gene, it is the sin of pride when we
yes.
don't forgive ourselves. And
absolutely.
Yet, for a lot of people, that's a big struggle.
Absolutely, and I agree with that 100%. And there is power in saying the rosary. And I'm a busy guy, so you think, well, Gene, when do you get a chance to say it? Every day that I drive to working out, my wife and I, 5:30 in the morning, I put that tape on the rosary. We say the rosary together. Driving time.
Wow.
And it's magic.
Wow. That is such a blessing. And you can get the rosary on the internet, I mean, on YouTube or whatever it might be, but, you know, you've got a particular CD that you listen to.
It was given to me from a brother Knight, and I thank him ever since. I listen to it constantly.
And let's get back to that Forum 100 here. And you know.
If you're not a Knight of Columbus, Knights are cool. You're missing out.
Well, you're missing out. And I think the Knights are living out their faith, and they're working with the poor. They're working with various groups and so forth that make a difference. I know particularly pro-life, right?
Not only pro-life, we go out and say the rosary on Tustin and Orange, but one of my favorite ministries, one of my brothers coordinates a food and clothing drive that we take to Skid Row in L.A. Quarterly. Boy, there is an eye-opener. And that problem is not shrinking, it's growing. But we get a group of us out there, and I love to bring my grandchildren to that to see that, one, teaching that you have to give back to others because you've been blessed. Give back. But they have their eyes open, like they think living in North Berlin is Disneyland. They go out and see the other side. And that is a powerful life lesson that you can't make up.
Amen. It is so amazing when you live out your faith. You know, no matter what you've done in life, you know, you can be police chief, you can be a senior executive, and you can do all these different things and be mayor. But if you don't live out your faith, you have nothing.
Let me give you one of my favorite quotes, Deacon Steve. It's never too late to become what you might have been.
I love that. Is that? Can we quote that and quote it from you? Or
I picked it up from years someplace. I'm sure I got it from somebody, but I can't remember who it is. I didn't research it. I love that. That was on, you know, police officers just get these baseball cards you'd hand out. And on mine in the back, that's what it said. It's never too late to become what you might have been.
Well, I'll give Matthew Kelly a shout out too. And he, one of his best lines, I think, is to be the best version of yourself means what is God calling you to be? You know, what is God calling you to do and to make a difference and to live out the gifts that you have? And we all have different gifts.
Oh, my gosh. We do. It's just a matter of taking the time to mine them. I will tell you one of the best books, and our Knights of Columbus, our council, we hand out books every time at Christmas. We hand out really good reading books. And one of the best that I read was Resisting Happiness. I'm sure you've heard of this book.
I've read it.
Oh, my gosh. What a powerful book, how we sabotage ourselves.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to do this, right? I don't believe in that. Just try it. Try it. I guarantee you, you'll be a better person for it.
And to make such a big difference as it relates to saying, you know, Jesus wants us to be filled with joy. He wants us to live out our faith and to make a difference. This new year, think about how can I be a better version of myself? How can I be better as it relates to getting closer to Jesus? And as you said, praying the rosary, holiness, adoration, all those things are very, very important. And to go to Mass more frequently if you can, which is very, very important.
It is. Mass to me, there's another thing I did when you said how did faith impact you. Early on in my faith career, I was the guy, and my wife and I, we sat in the back row, corner seat. Right after communion, boom, we were out of there. I purposely, once I became a Knight, I moved to the front row, and I sit there every Mass. I'm in the front row. Wow, what? Now you feel like you're part of the process. You're part of that Mass. And now, of course, I get a lot of, you know, my priests are always saying, yeah, I always miss you when I don't see you in the front row. Where are you at? You couldn't come this week. So it's important that you're there. You're a role model. And I take that serious, being a role model. I want people to realize that, okay, here's a guy who's busy, and yet he takes the time to put his faith out front.
Mayor Gene Hernandez, you're an amazing man. And I'm so blessed to know you and so honored to be in your presence. But my brothers and sisters, you are also amazing in who you are. Each of us given these special gifts from the Lord. Thank you for being on the show.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much, Deacon Steve. I hope I can come back.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you and worship you. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to say yes, yes to your love, yes to your many, many blessings. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, in Jesus' name, and I bless you with every spiritual blessing, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be with you next week at the same time. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.